Welcome to the Soul Summit podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Preedy. I'm here to help bridge the gap for women and families in the outdoors, build a community of adventure junkies, and roll out your weekly dose of positive vibes. With almost two decades in the health and fitness world and an untamable passion for hunting in the outdoors, my mission is to help you live your bucket list life and move boldly in the direction of your dreams. Meet us here weekly as I connect with like-minded outdoor men and women to discuss health and mindset, accountability, life and entrepreneurship, as well as all things hunting and epic untold stories. The Soul Summit podcast is brought to you by Maven Optics, Baku e-bikes, Hoyt Archery, Onyx Maps, and Sawyer Products. For more information on these companies or to access the Soul Summit podcast discount codes, be sure to check out our show notes. I'm going to make this real short and sweet today, but we are going to get into this episode. It is a solo recording with me talking about 15 valuable steps to improve your skills as an archer. There is a resource and a quick printable option for this handout that you can get just by going to the show notes, and you will see the link to get that right to your inbox. And you can use these steps immediately to refine your process and to build your consistency as an archer. This is a quick episode giving you all the meat and potatoes so that you can level up and chase your dreams in the archery world. I think that you're going to enjoy this episode. Without further ado, here we go. Welcome back to another episode of the Soul Summit podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Preedy, and today I am recording a solo episode, and I'm super excited because this is a topic that I am really passionate about, and I think it's going to be a great one for people to really refine their skills. So in this episode, we're talking about how to become a better and more consistent archer. And because I want you to be able to implement these things that I'm going to talk about today, these practices, I'm going to include a printable cheat sheet that has 15 tips to improve your archery skills, and they are going to be found in the show notes. So for me, archery became my absolute obsession, which in time baked itself basically into being my career. After my lifelong rifle hunting partner, my dad, had to stop hunting and help care for my grandparents. When my grandma and grandpa got sick, they moved to Oregon, and my dad really, you know, just devoted his life to caring for them, which meant, you know, that my family started doing things a little bit differently, and my dad stopped hunting. And in that moment, I just felt like, okay, I've been rifle hunting my whole life. I've really enjoyed this. You know, I feel like I've been, you know, able to be successful. Not that I don't have anything else to learn, don't get me wrong, but I just felt like I was ready kind of in this next phase. I was already going to do something a little bit different and kind of branch out on my own. So I shot a bow for the first time, and it was out on an elk hunt in one of Oregon's more premier units. I got invited to go over on this archery hunt just as kind of a ride along, and I shot a bow for the first time, and I'll tell you what, there was something about it that felt so uncomfortable yet intriguing to me. I knew right then I definitely wanted to get a bow in my hand more regularly, and I never looked back from that moment. I feel like for me, there was so much just mystery behind archery. So anyway, for me, it just became my absolute obsession, and I picked up that bow and I never looked back. It was my therapy. I enjoyed the process. The skill that precision archery requires really is just an incredible thing. And it's kind of like, you know, there's not many other areas of my life that I really feel like archery kind of has the same components to it. And so for me, like I said, it just took over my thoughts, and I just became so dialed in with wanting to just be the best archer I could possibly be. So in addition to being a USA archery certified instructor, I've also worked with NASP, which is the National Archeries in the Schools program, to facilitate our local community's summer youth archery programs. I've also won a handful of regional titles for archery and endurance in the Train to Hunt games, which was so fun, as well as I won the national title in 2017, I believe it was. But most importantly, my archery journey has really evolved with the close work I've done with a world-renowned renowned shooting coach Joel Turner of Shot IQ. I believe that's still what he's calling his business these days, but whatever he's calling it, Joel is absolutely the man. He is just a really incredible teacher when it comes to refining your skills and getting in your head and really not just like helping you go through the actions that make you be more successful, but like mentally understanding the difference that it takes in how you show up and how you approach your shot. Really in all things in life, he's kind of delving into this new area of controlling your mind as well, which is coming along with the shooting stuff. But I can't say enough good things about, you know, how Joel coaches. And, you know, even though I'm an archery coach myself and I run archery events and camps, I often say, like, if you could only ever do one course or one, you know, see one archery coach, Joel would definitely be the guy to see. He is, I just can't say enough good things about him and thank him so much, honestly, for just helping me refine my process and, you know, get to the point where I can, you know, help other people become better shooters. And kind of a funny story about Joel. I met him years and years ago, and he came to see me one year at the Maven Optics booth. I work the shows for Maven Optics in the Pacific Northwest, and he stopped by the booth one day, and we were catching up, and it was shortly after I just had my right shoulder surgically repaired after I was nursing a 9.5-year-old injury forever, and he came in, and I was talking about being really upset that I felt like I couldn't shoot. They thought, you know, it'd be at least 6 months before I'd kind of start babying myself back into it. And I was bummed. And at the time I was still competing in the train to hunt events and having a lot of fun and diving into that community. And he looked me square in the eyes and he was like, well, then find another way to shoot your bow if you can't use your arm. And I laughed at first and I felt like from the way he said that to me, like I knew he wasn't just like off the cuff kidding. Like he's like, figure this thing out. If you have a desire to figure out how to shoot your bow while you're recovering from this surgery, then do it. And he's like, shoot it with your mouth. And I was like, okay, I think I'm going to do that. And we talked about it for a bit and made a plan. And I think, you know, I still kind of wonder to this day, I haven't asked him this question, but I still kind of wonder to this day if he thought I would actually go through with it or not, because I did. And I got home and I went into the local shop and I was like, hey, you know, I can't shoot with, you know, my arm for a while, but I really just want to keep shooting. For me, it was like also that mental health kind of reset for me to go out there, you know, move my body, get active, but also just like really dial in the focus and the therapy that comes with archery. And so I tried a different kind of mouth tabs a few times, you know, that so instead of on your D loop of your bow, instead of, you know, putting your archery release on there, whether that's a handheld or wrist, you know, I put this tab on it. So it was, to describe it, maybe 2.5 to 3 inches long. I tried a couple pieces of leather and I also tried cutting piece of like a brand new dog collar and melting the ends and then putting a grommet on to go around the D loop that would then go into my mouth. And so instead of, you know, holding the bow in my left hand, attaching my release, I would grab that tab and I'd put it in my mouth and I would extend my left arm and I'd kind of pull back with my mouth at the same time to draw my bow. And I shot like that for quite a while. And it's crazy to think about it because there's so many more variables that come into play when you're using an alternative like drawing or release mechanism in archery. So to be drawing and releasing by just relaxing my jaw was totally different. But I think that it also really helped me build the skills to stay in the game. And, you know, there's definitely a lot of things that are going to be different if you're shooting in an alternative method. However, you still have to show up and, you know, demand the same kind of focus, the same kind of attention, the same kind of repetitive nature and process. And so all of that to say, whether you are fully capable or you feel like you're just starting out or you've been doing it for a while, there's always a lot to learn and a lot to refine. So I say all of this only to convey my dedication, my knowledge that I built around this, and my deep love for all things archery. In the world of archery, consistency is vital to achieving accuracy and success in the field or on the range. And I cannot tell you how much the consistency piece really matters. Until somebody is really able to hone in what their specific shot process is, it's going to be hard to repeat the same process and get the consistency on your targets that you're after. So whether you're a seasoned archer or just getting started, there are several essential elements to implement when building and refining this process. So I've coached hundreds of archers, and there are a lot of common mistakes that I see across the board, really honestly, with both veteran shooters and for those that are just starting. And so I think that it's really good to just get the foundational pieces of how you should be approaching your shot, how you should be sending every single arrow. So for today, this episode, let's explore these 15 valuable tips to help get you the most out of your time on the range and make you a more consistent shooter. Some of these things are going to sound a little bit more rudimentary, like, yeah, everybody knows this, but I'm telling you, I have seen a lot of things. And this first tip that I'm going to give seems like an absolute no-brainer, but I have seen some wild things, including one of the hunting industry, which I will not name. He's very well known in the outdoor hunting world. He's got a lot of outlets, I will say, and does a lot online. And we can all make mistakes. We absolutely can. But in this instance, I watched this gentleman. He was getting ready for a shot at Total Archery Challenge, and he had cameras all around him. And, you know, they were getting ready to get the hero shot or whatever. And he dry fired his bow. So make sure that you're always knocking an arrow. Again, I know it sounds so easy, like, yeah, that's a part of shooting my bow, but I have seen it happen so many times. Dozens of people dry fire their bow, coming to full draw and shooting when the arrow is not already knocked is what dry firing is. And really, you'd be surprised at the people who dry fire. So make sure that every time you are getting ready to shoot, knocking your arrow is on the list. And I'm going to talk about my process a little bit too when it comes to this, but I will tell you that knocking an arrow is actually in my checklist of my shot process. So as I'm coming to full draw, I actually watch the arrow shaft come to full draw and settle, you know, into my rest. And that for me makes me mentally go, yep, check, arrows on board, you know, because sure, it can be easy whether, you know, you're setting up for some hero shot or you've got the adrenaline because you've got this game animal coming into you and it finally worked out and you're going to get it done. Like, checking that your arrow's knocked is incredibly important. So don't miss that step. If not, you'll be fixing your bow for sure. My second tip is to use a rangefinder. Before you even knock your arrow, make sure you use a rangefinder to accurately measure the distance to your target. So if you aren't doing this and you're like, man, my shot's off, but you don't know that you're exactly at 30 yards or you're exactly at 40 yards, you're going to be chasing your tail. So knowing the exact range can make a significant difference in your shot. Again, if you're shooting to sight in or if you're shooting just for practice, make sure that you know the distance that you're at. It's also important, surprisingly, and some people don't think about this, to sight in for the rangefinder that you're going to be using in the field. So maybe you have a rangefinder and your partner has one and they go out there and they range it and they're like, oh, all right, here's 20 yards, you know, come sight in at 20 yards. Sometimes some rangefinders can be off a bit. So I definitely do always recommend that you use your rangefinder for shooting your bow, for sighting in, and then also for your target practice. Definitely a tip too, if you're going to be going hunting with somebody else, make sure before that archery hunt, you guys have tested your rangefinders against one another. In a scenario, say you're the caller, the other person is going to maybe have the first shot opportunity. and something happens and all of a sudden you're in a position where you're going to range for them, you want to make sure that your rangefinder is reading the same that theirs would, so that there's no, you know, error or room in that situation for that error. So tip number three, shoot at different dots on your target. So to avoid damaging your arrows and improve your skills, practice shooting at different dots on the target. Doing so can prevent damage to your arrows and also mentally keep you feeling free to move around the target with confidence. I've occasionally heard people say things like, I can't shoot to the left of the target, or I can't shoot the top dot. Keeping yourself out of this mental block by routinely shooting the other dots on the target will help you quite a bit. And as a bonus, this is great because it's also going to distribute the wear and tear in your targets a little bit more evenly. So, you know, you've probably, if you've shot quite a bit, you've seen, or maybe you've just seen on other people's targets, the center, you know, or maybe the vitals on the deer or the center dot on the target is really worn out and soft. And you can even hear that, you know, in the impact, as you shoot, you'll be able to hear, oh, that was the soft spot of the target, or it wasn't. But that definitely keeps a little bit more life in your targets, a little bit more money in your pocket potentially. So don't be afraid to move around. And, you know, I even find myself, I get in patterns where I definitely want to shoot one dot just consistently when I'm target practicing. But then if I try to get up to the top dot, or if I try to get over to the left dot, it definitely mentally sets me up. You know, you're visually seeing that difference too. So your brain starts to compute something totally different than what you're used to. So keeping that kind of consistency of finding a different target or different dot every time will be helpful for you in the long run. The next tip number four, is check your nocks for damage. So inspect your nocks for any signs of damage after or before you're shooting. Damaged or broken nocks can affect your arrow flight, but also can potentially damage your bow or cause harm to you while you're shooting. So this is also why tip number three, shooting at different dots, is essential, because you can mitigate some of the damage to your arrows while shooting. And then I would also say keep those backup nocks, just maybe a little baggie of them in your bow case or readily available. That way you're never pushing the line on a damaged nock. If the nock doesn't actually fit into and seat into the D loop notch, you are going to have a problem with the bow at full draw getting its full kinetic energy to shoot through the arrow to get that out of your bow. So that can cause things, you know, like blowing your bow up. If that energy is not able to come out of your arrow, it can also send the arrow in a totally different direction that you don't want to, which is not safe. So always be checking your nocks to make sure that they are totally fine and ready to go. Tip number five, ensure your nocks feed into the D loop correctly. So this is one I just kind of touched on. Make sure the nock of your arrow perfectly and properly fits into the D loop on your bowstring. You should be able to hear or feel the click as you nock your arrow to the string. A secure fit is crucial for consistent shots and, again, for preventing damage to your bow or to yourself. But there's a balance between too tight and too loose of a fit as well. So if you feel like your D loop isn't the correct size, I would definitely recommend taking it into your bow shop, whatever you have local, and have them or somebody that you trust look at it. Also, you know, you can get a D loop that's too tight so that when you come to full draw, especially if you have maybe a longer axle to axle bow or a longer draw length, you'll actually get a pinch in that D loop on the nock, which will interfere some of your flight as well to that arrow. So make sure that that D loop is on correctly and fits your arrow nocks correctly. Tip number six, check your field points for tightness. Loose field points can lead to inconsistencies in your arrow's trajectory. So ensure that they're securely attached to the arrow shaft. And you'll sometimes hear, you can hear when the field point is loose sometimes. I also notice it once I get it in and I get it knocked on my D loop. Sometimes you can just hear a little bit of, it sounds like, gosh, what little vibration noise. So always check that those are tight. You can do a little bowstring wax on the threading of your field point if you want to, and then screw them in. So it'll help keep them a little tighter. But I will say, as a note, try not to use Loctite if you plan to use those same arrows for hunting and you would like to be able to get the field points off to put on your broadheads. You don't need them that tight, but do make sure that they're not loose.
The Soul Summit podcast is proudly supported by some of the top companies in the hunting and outdoor world, allowing people like us to make common bonds in uncommon places. So let's take a break and hear a word from today's awesome sponsors. If you're ready for premium optics without the premium price tag that comes along with it, check out Maven Optics. This consumer direct company is turning heads and winning awards for their top quality products. Binoculars, rangefinders, rifle scopes, and spotting scopes, they've got it all. Head to mavenbuilt.com. Use the code SOULSUMMIT-GIFT on your next purchase and get a little something extra just for listening to the podcast. Elevate your life and your hunts with one of Baku's top-of-the-line e-bikes. Whether you use them on your hunting and fishing adventures, for a hand around the farm, or to commute around your local area, Baku e-bikes are not only reliable, but they add a whole lot of fun to life. Find their full line of products at baku.com, B-A-K-C-O-U.com. There are some awesome bows on the market, but if you ask me, I'd say that Hoyt has some of the best bows around. Built tough to withstand the abuse of hard hunts, reliability in your shot so you can focus on the hunt, and a dead in the hand feel that keeps you coming back for more. Head to Hoyt.com and check out their new custom bow builder. If you're serious about getting into the outdoors, be sure to check out what Sawyer has to offer. From water filtration to sunscreen and insect repellent, Sawyer has you covered. Not to mention Sawyer's commitment to giving back, helping fight global issues, and bring clean water to more people around the world sets them apart from the rest. Head to Sawyer.com to see what they have going on. When it comes to hunting and exploring the great outdoors, there are endless tools, gizmos, and gear, but one I never leave home without is my Onyx Maps. Knowing I have access to landowner information, property lines, topographical layers, historical and wildlife data, and so much more gives me the confidence to take my outdoor experiences to the next level. Grab your free trial right now at onyxmaps.com. Now, let's jump back into the conversation.
Tip number 7 is practice with your gear on. So think about mimicking these real life hunting conditions by practicing with your gear on. This would include things like your clothing, your jacket, bino harness, maybe your pack. These things will also help you feel more confident in the field if you get an unsuspecting shot on your target game, but you still have your backpack on. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've talked to women or, you know, been coaching somebody and they're like, man, yeah, I've never shot with any of that on. And so we'll go, I'll get them a pack and or a bino harness and they'll put it on and their stabilization changes and everything feels different for them. So I always say practice how you're going to play, so to speak, so that you're ready for those situations and in those different scenarios that could arise. Also something to think about for bigger chested women. If you, you know, carry a little bit more up top and then you have a bino harness on, check to make sure that your string won't have any interference with anything that could be attached to your back or to your front. You want to make sure that there's no interference at full draw with your string touching anything on your body, of course, for safety. But also think about that if you are somebody who likes to do photography in the field, as I am, I have that quick capture for my camera that goes on my right shoulder strap and that goes here. But if I were to accidentally have put that on my left side and come to full draw, my strings would be, if not touching, almost wrapped around at least the external mic on my camera, which would not be a good situation probably for my camera or my bow. So again, just be careful, watch those things. If you are, you know, like I said, bigger chested or you're going to be using a bino harness, you want to make sure that there's nothing there. and you don't necessarily feel comfortable checking that yourself, take somebody with you. See if you can get somebody who, when you're at full draw, can look you over and make sure that there's going to be nothing that is interfering. And I will say with that, if you ever get yourself into a situation where you're at full draw and something's not right, maybe your arrow slipped off the rest, maybe it looks like something, you know, is going to impede your bowstrings, you can always let down. Always let down, do it carefully. You know, if you need to, point it towards the ground as you slowly let it down and back to center. But don't ever get into the habit where you feel like you've just got to shoot the arrow to get it out of your bow. That is definitely not a practice that we would like to implement and solidify. So let's move on. Tip 8, get in the habit of also checking your arrows for damage. So regularly inspect your arrows for any sites of damage, cracks or splintering, anything that can be a problem for your arrows. Damaged arrows should be replaced immediately to prevent any shattering when you're shooting. So don't kind of get into this habit where you're like, oh, I think it'll be fine, because potentially, again, it comes down to your bow has so much energy that gets built up when those limbs are drawn and you're all the way, you're sitting there at full draw. If that energy isn't put into that arrow, it's going to be put into something else, which could be the bow. And that's not a good thing. So don't ever mess around with arrows that are damaged. And I would also say, and this is something that I tell people all the time, if you do have a damaged arrow, pull the nock immediately, or pull the nock and the field point. That way it doesn't get mixed into the rest of your arrows and accidentally get shot. So make sure that you just find a way to just disassemble that arrow, that shaft, so that you won't accidentally shoot it. And, you know, you might say like, well, how will I check to see if this is damaged? You can do a test. Where you bend it, make sure if you're bending it just gently to kind of see if there's any, or hear if there's any splintering in it. Make sure it's always away from the face, not towards the face. But if you didn't want to give that kind of gentle bend, what you could do is a cotton ball would work really well. And if you take that cotton ball and you rub it up and down the shaft of the arrow, kind of on all sides, if you feel any catching in the cotton swab, or if there's an obvious, you know, if it's tearing the cotton against the shaft, then there definitely is some splintering there. So of course, always check your arrows for any damage before you're shooting them. Moving on to tip number 9, quality reps over quantity. I cannot say this loudly or boldly enough. Focusing on quality over quantity when practicing will be your game changer. Take time between each shot. Don't feel rushed. Don't feel like you have to just get through them or get them out, or you said you'd shoot 10 arrows today. Make every one of them count. For me, because I've done so much work with Joel, every time I'm behind my bow at full draw, I think to myself, would this be an arrow that I'd be proud to shoot in front of my coach, Joel? And for me, that really works. It keeps him and his philosophies and my solid shooting process in the front of my mind every time. So I never shoot an arrow that I don't feel good about. That is not to say that every arrow that I shoot is perfect, because that is not what I'm saying. But every shot I take, I'm proud to take. So there might be some work, you know, when I get down to the target face and I'm looking at my shot placements. Yeah, I might say, yeah, those didn't all go exactly where I wanted them to. But if you're always shooting a shot that you would repeat, that you're proud of, that was in your process, that you controlled, then you can't be mad about that. So quality over quantity every day of the week, my friends. That moves us to tip number 10, which is shoot a dot size appropriate for your range. So you've probably seen there's a lot of different target faces. There's a lot of target dot sizes, and so on and so forth. There are endless options to what you're shooting. But I definitely would say that shooting a target dot size that corresponds to the distance you're shooting will help you become a more consistent, more precise shooter. This will help you fine tune your accuracy for different ranges by allowing you to adopt an aim small, miss small mentality, which is incredibly important. For example, if you're shooting 20 yards, shoot the smallest dot on the target. When you back up to 40, 50, 60 yards or beyond, choose a slightly larger dot or target to maintain good visibility for that yardage. So that's really important. Think about that all the time. Aim small, miss small. If you are standing at 30 yards and you are aiming at a 5-inch dot, where are you going to aim? You've got 5 inches to hit at 30 yards. So if you've got a 1 or 1.5, 2-inch dot at 30 yards, your aim is going to just shrink in. It's going to be a smaller area that you're aiming to hit. If it's that bigger area, your consistency and the quality of your shots is going to decrease. So think about shooting a dot size or a target size appropriate for your range. You really want to think about just bringing everything together through this repeatable pattern. All right, we are rolling into tip 11. Check your sight for rollback. This is something I've also seen commonly and have done a couple of times occasionally myself. Now, it is important to note that not all archery sights are rolling sights. Some are fixed. And if they are fixed, then you probably might not know what I'm talking about, or this does not apply to you. However, it's important to think about this for in the future, because most archers over time end up upgrading or changing equipment, adding different components to their bow. So important to think about this. If you use a sight that rolls, so that means that you roll your yardage down to, let's say 67 yards, or you'd roll it back up to 43 yards. Make sure that you have your home base set to the appropriate distance for your shot. So it's a really good habit, and this is something that I did when I was shooting that rolling sight and using the roller consistently. Was every round of shooting, I'd reset. Every round of shooting, I would reset. Just roll it back to the home base because this consistency is going to be vital for you. So even if your sight is rolled a yard or two off of that home base, it can change your point of impact on the target. So be really mindful of getting it back, setting the scene again, making sure you just start with square one, to check your yardage again, roll it back if needed. But I think getting into that mindset of making sure you're always coming back to home base will help you not shoot way farther, way shorter at one point because you forgot to roll back to home base. Tip number 12. This is a little bit more of like an advanced thing or an action, a habit that can take you to more of an advanced level, and that's numbering your arrows. So number your arrows, which will allow you to monitor any flyers. I don't know if you've ever, you know, been shooting and you're like, man, you know, those four were great, but that one just, you know, it's off to the left, or it's low, or whatever it is, or maybe it just looks like it's in the target a little funky. If that's the case, or if you really want to take your shooting to the next level and get more consistency, just write just a little number on each of the fletchings of that arrow. So I do mine 1 through 12 when I get them, and then I know which ones are impacting the target maybe a little bit differently or whatever. This can also be helpful if you need to do any tuning to your bow. And it can help you also identify if you have an arrow that's not flying correctly, because if you have an arrow that might just have a wobble or have a little deviation in it, that arrow might consistently go to a different side. So that would not be an arrow I would want to use to sight in for broadheads, right? That's not an arrow that I want to have in my hunting quiver. That's an arrow that I might just use, you know, in the yard or on the range practicing, but not an arrow that I will, you know, use as a hunting tool. And this is also important because if you don't have your arrows numbered to identify, oh, that's just a funky arrow, sometimes you can get into your head and start feeling like it's you. Like, what did I do in that shot that made that arrow's impact so different? Or why is it kind of at a different angle on the target? So if you can identify which arrow that is specifically, that can be really helpful for you. And I have another tip talking about those deviating arrows here in just a second, number 13. But before I move on from that, I also want to say, you know, you can look at them and you can just kind of be like, oh, number three arrows kind of always, you know, deviating a little bit or always in the target a little bit funky. But if you write them down, so what I did kind of early on when I was really just trying to refine my process and figure out if some of those arrows that weren't flying or impacting the target where I wanted to be, you know, was that me? Was that the bow, you know, or was that the arrow? And so I would draw my target and I would just number, I'd shoot, let's say, for example, five arrows. So I draw my little target and I just write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'd put those numbers wherever they were at on the target. And so over time I could look back and I could see, you know, which arrows were hitting where. And it did help me identify those flyers, the ones that weren't quite ready for me to be hunting with, or just needed to be benched for just range time only. So that can be definitely helpful for making sure you are refining and not chasing your tail. If you've got an arrow, say you're sighting in for broadheads and you've got you ended up shooting and sighting in these broadheads with that wonky arrow, with the one that always kind of flew funny. Now you're chasing your tail and you're trying to sight in for an arrow that wasn't even flying like the rest of your arrows are going to fly. So the tuning issue is going to remain there and you'll probably be getting yourself in a situation or potentially getting yourself in a situation where now you've sighted in for that one flyer, but you've got broadheads on all the rest of them and you use a different arrow to try to shoot that buck with, and that arrow doesn't fly the same as the odd arrow did. So if you have questions on that, definitely reach out. And I can't say enough good things about numbering and journaling with your arrows. Let's move on to tip number 13, which kind of rolls on that funky flyer arrow. That's noctune your arrows. This tip is more advanced than some of the rest, but if you are struggling with an arrow or two that continually deviate from the rest, like we were just talking about, you can noctune those arrows. Depending on how your arrows were made, they may be spine aligned before fletching them, or they might not be. To noctune an arrow that is not flying correctly, knock the arrow on your D loop and then turn the arrow in one direction or the other, I go clockwise, until you've indexed a new cock vein. After doing that step, you can shoot the arrow again to see if it's corrected the flight. If it hasn't, you can noctune the arrow again and give it a twist, moving in the same direction as before to see if that corrects the arrow. Noctuning does not always correct a deviating arrow because it just depends on what the problem was, but it can help the arrow flight in that arrow. So it's definitely worth a try before you decide to not shoot that one anymore. Tip number 14, and this one is wildly important. That is, watch your bubble. Pay attention to the bubble on your bow. Any left to right deviations can likely be connected to an offset bubble. So when you are at full draw and you're going through your cycle and you're getting ready and you're watching that bubble and you're making sure that you're level, and all of a sudden you stop focusing on it and you grab your bow because you're preparing for the shot and that bow cants to the right, you know, you're going to have issues with that shot. So always pay attention to the entire process and making sure that bubble stays aligned. And if you're struggling and feel like it's difficult for you to level your bow, try tinkering with your stabilizer and overall weight distribution on the bow. Issues leveling your bow can also come from your grip. So make sure that you're not holding the bow too firmly. And we're going to talk about stance, grip, follow through, release, all of those things in another episode. So we will cover all of those things. But again, be sure to pay attention to that bubble because it absolutely matters in your shot placement. Tip number 15, be consistent and repeatable. The most critical aspect of archery is consistency, friends. So develop a repeatable process from your stance to your grip, your release, all of your anchor points, and everything in between. And you want to stick with that every time. Of course, you want your repeatable habits and practices to be something that is a positive habit for you. You don't want to be practicing bad habits, but definitely make sure that what whatever you're doing the same every time, because if not, you're not able to really see what your consistency has the potential to be. So in conclusion, building consistency in your archery shot and your process is a continuous journey of improvement. But I truly believe if you practice these 15 steps and implement these, and you're committed to refining your technique, you can honestly achieve such great accuracy and success in archery. That's regardless of if you're a target shooter, a bow hunter, if you're new, or if you're a veteran. There is so many ways to really refine, to hone, and to own your skill of archery. And the sky is the limit. You can do anything that you want to. You can I mean, I see women all the time and I hear people say, well, I'd love to go do that archery shoot, or I'd love to enter into the competitive side of it, but I'm really new at this. There's people way better than me. That's great. What an awesome environment for you to put yourself in to register for that shoot and to do the bow hunter category, or to sign up for the competitive archery league, or to go do the indoor shoots throughout the winter, or the, you know, whatever, whenever you want to do, however you want to do it, you can make it happen. And just because you feel new, or just because you don't feel like you know enough, or just because you couldn't, you know, tell somebody how to do it, doesn't mean that you're unqualified to put yourself into those situations and scenarios. So I will absolutely say, go sign up for the shoot. Google what the 3D shoots are in your area. Connect with friends. Shoot, we've got the Northwest Challenge going on here in Oregon. They've got an event coming up in Utah. There's total archery challenges all over the place. So, and in addition to that, most of these local 3D archery ranges, they have something going on. And, you know, whether that's just a real casual weekend shoot or more competitive, it's a great place to get in, to ask questions, and to do all of the things. So if you want to refine your skills as an archer, if you want to feel like you're up-leveling yourself as a bow hunter and you're capable, you're confident, put yourself in the situations that test you. Get out there and journal. Write your numbers on your arrows. You know, get dialed in and own every single step of this process. We have so much more to talk about in the archery world, including going over how to approach every shot, owning your shot process and your shot cycle, which is, of course, what we cover in our Women's Archery Fundamentals camps. We have one spot left at the time of this recording for our Oregon camp, which is going to be at the Hoodoo Ski Resort in conjunction with the Northwest Mountain Challenge. I can't talk today. This is great. Northwest Mountain Challenge, June 21st through the 23rd. There's one spot left for that at the time of this recording. And we've got a handful of spots left for our Utah camp, which is going to be July 26th through the 28th. And I have an amazing co-host with that camp. That's going to be Mel Epic from Utah. She is so cool and so great. And I'm excited to have her along with us and to get to meet all of these new ladies. That camp does have some spots left, and it's going to be in Ogden, Utah, and we would love to see you there. So if you're ready to take your archery game seriously, you can head over to the Her Outdoor Journey website and check out our full list of 2024 events. If not, find something going on in your local area, or please reach out to me, send me a DM. I can't tell you how often I've said to somebody, take a video of you shooting and send it to me and I'll take a look at it. And it's just, you know, I love archery. I love all things archery. I love shooting. And I think that there's so much therapy, connection, grounded that you can get in your archery process and your archery journey. So I can't say enough good things about it. If you have questions, if you have comments after this episode, please feel free to reach out. And again, we just have enjoyed this new season of the Soul Summit podcast. Every one of the guests that we've had have been incredibly inspiring, and we're looking forward to doing some big things with the podcast moving forward. So if you've enjoyed this season of the show, I would appreciate you just taking a second to share an episode that has impacted you with a friend, maybe to share it on social media, or to leave us a review. We would love to hear from you, to get your feedback, and to know how things are going in your world. With that said, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Soul Summit podcast. It's a pleasure to show up with you here to do life and to take this next level of your archery journey together. I can't talk today, but I'm so appreciative of you, and I hope that you have a fantastic day. I'm out.
Once again, thank you for tuning into the show. We hope that your cup is full and you're ready to embrace your untamable vibe. If you enjoyed the show, could you do us a favor? Help us grow our audience by sharing your favorite episode on social media, sending the episode to a friend, and leaving us a review online. We love to hear from you. One more thing, be sure to press that subscribe button and never miss a weekly episode. See you next week.